What?
Does that mean at the level of bhakti that there is no distraction at all, or just that if something comes in immediately?
It means the default setting of your attention is Krishna. And if for some reason you have to think of something else, it goes back. You got to work hard to think about the carburetor. Right. Yeah. No, we're talking about, look, why should I think about my devotional activities of making sure that the bills get paid for the temple, which is certainly my devotional service, while I am chanting japa? No scheming during japa.
What?
No scheming, even if it's devotional service, no scheming during japa. Maybe at a very advanced stage you have realized the total nectar of the form of Krishna in paying the temple bills. But at this because at a certain level you cannot be distracted from Krishna. But we're not at that level. So your service is to chant the holy name. Your service is to pay attention to Krishna. That is your service. Why should I be doing one service while thinking of another service? This is the service. After all, we're talking about 16 rounds. What's that, 2 hours? The most, huh? Yeah, come on. That should be, we have to give Krishna, that's the special time when we are just going to think about Krishna's name and so on at this time. We focus our attention on Krishna, and we will not know what happens, but suddenly we find, oops, there's my mind, you know, worried about the bill or something else, and some agitation is there. As soon as it is, I've detected that it's wandered, I bring it back, I again place it at the feet of Krishna. If it goes away, I bring it back. If I'm making this effort, I am chanting on the clearing stage. If it goes there and stays there and I... And you know, you get a certain mental lucidity from chanting japa. If I use that mental lucidity for coming up with so many good ideas about so many different things, even about lectures or things like that, that's still distraction. Better to bring it back and just, while you're chanting japa, if I get really good ideas, stop, write it down, go back to your japa. Don't. You think you'll, I always think if it's a really great idea, I'll come back again when I need it. So if that, these things pop into your head, you get many realizations. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, there are different ways that you can, I just want to follow the directions of the acharyas in this way. So for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has pointed out that the Hare Krishna mantra consists of 8 pairs of names. And he points out, and he says, this is in Bhajana Rahasya, that the first pair of names indicates the first verse of the Shishastika prayers. The second pair of names, the second verse of the Shishastika prayers, and so on. And so, I found out that the Shishastika prayers, as far as thinking about something else, that's okay. You can think about this. First of all, the Shishastika prayers also indicate the sequence from Shraddha to Prema. Because the first verse of the Shishastika prayers, which tells the benedictions which come from chanting the holy name, is Shraddha. That's faith. The second one, Durdaiva Midvishamiha Janina Nirada. Here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is thinking about the glory. First of all, he's mentioned all the benedictions that come from the glory name, the glories from chanting the holy name. Then he talks about the fact that the Lord has many names, He's bestowed so many of them, they possess all His potencies, He's put His potencies in them, and in the matter of chanting them, it's pretty easy. There aren't so many regulations about yama and kala, time and rules. But, he says, he laments, durdaivam. I'm unfortunate because the attraction for chanting, in spite of all this, the attraction for chanting doesn't arise in me. This is my misfortune. Prabhupada explicitly says, when he translates these Shashastika prayers, in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, he translates it, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting, and therefore the attraction for the holy names does not arise. This is my misfortune, is that I'm committing offenses. So that verse actually indicates chanting in association of devotees while trying to give up offenses. And of the next three things, bhajana kriya anarthanivritti, that's in that verse. So that's anarthanivritti. What then for is the mood of anarthanivritti? Durdaiva middisham. I am unfortunate. In other words, I have to regret the fact that I am committing offenses. I have to be sorry about that. So there has to be this mood. So in this way, then the third verse next is nishta, that now one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Why? Because actually, if I have the mood of durdaivam, if I have this mood and I'm trying to give offenses, I meditate on the fact that I'm offenses, I'm committing offenses, I regret that I'm committing offenses, I chant in this way, then actually I will start to see things as they are. That I am in fact about the ontological equivalent of a blade of grass, and so on. One will actually start to become humble. People say, how can I become humble? As you know, how can someone as great and wonderful as me actually find a way to... Humble is realism. So you begin to become realistic. Anyway, all of these are there. So... And so while chanting, one can actually, what I did was I learned the Shashastika prayers so well and associated them with each of these two names that actually just by going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, I can also think of the whole sequence of the Shashastika prayers. Because if you learn them well enough, you can just see the whole prayer in a flash. That's not a distraction. While one is keeping the Shashastika prayers in the mind, and if somehow or other, you know, you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and you say, Ai Nanda Tanuja, that takes you right back into the mantra. So there are ways of thinking about, one is the Shashastika prayers. At the end of Bhajana Rahasya, he also associates one of the eight Yamas, Krishna's Astakali Alila, with each of the pairs of names. That's another stage up there. So there are ways of using verses like the Shashastika prayers and other verses that if you go strictly from the name itself, that are really none different from the name. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that may be all right. The point is whether it increases your attention to the chanting, or then I start thinking about the verse, and then I start thinking about, what was that guy that told me that verse? Oh, what happened? Oh, remember, yeah, he had a wife that did this. And you know. Yeah. Yeah, right.
You also mentioned meditating on
a yoga seat. Which book? Is that the one by Mahanidhi Swami?
Yeah,
some people recommend this. Other people say, you know, you have to visualize something. And I don't know where all this comes from. I have a lot of respect by Mahanidhi Swami. But there's this tendency in his book to recommend different things. You see, sometimes he tells you who says it, and sometimes he says, Vaishnava acharyas say. I don't know what acharyas. He doesn't say what acharyas. And I don't know if it's just something he heard from somebody in Radhakund or so I don't really, it doesn't have enough documentation for me. Other people recommend seeing things. I can just tell you a few things. What I have read from I don't know where it is, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, or they recommend when you visualize things, seeing the words of the mantra. In any script you like. Devanagari, Bengali, English, doesn't matter. Seeing the words of a mantra. When Prabhupada was asked, what should we think about when we're chanting? He replied, chanting is thinking. And I know one time he saw a devotee when he was sitting down to chant around, put up a whole bunch of pictures, and he stopped them. So whether or not it's a distraction, you can be the judge. But for me, you know, I'm dealing with the Lord in the form of the name. That's my main. Even when I chant in front of the deities, my tendency is to know that the deities are there and I'm in their presence, but not to really be so much looking at the deities. I'm worshiping the Lord in the form of the name. When I'm worshiping the Lord in the form of deities, that's another way of worshiping. Because I'm trying to learn how to, because Krishna's name will be revealed, then Krishna's form will be revealed. There are. They're none different. But one wants to see that comes by realization, and not by some just kind of mental accretion on the mental platform. So at least for me, that's my experience. I try to concentrate on the name. And just because Krishna and Krishna's name are none different, and if we simply pay the Lord the respect of attention, He'll pay attention back to us. And if one has been inattentive while chanting and very careless, if one simply sits down and starts to make this effort, one will start to feel the presence of at least the dawning light of the holy name, and it will start to make changes happen. I've mentioned before my own experience. I kind of hate to bring this up, but when I first began to realize the necessity, the importance of attentive chanting, and I think I had been not particularly attentive for some time, getting many good ideas while chanting my names, the holy name and so on. I began to pay attention to the Lord. I began to go through emotional changes. And the emotional change was I began to feel an extreme mental discomfort while chanting. And I noticed this mental discomfort was causing my mind to skid off in another direction. That I wasn't going toward anything else, but I was kind of just going away from this mental discomfort. And I said, you know, why is this happening to me? Maybe something's really wrong with me, and why should I, you know, be feeling that? It's the holy name. So then I decided, well, look, I'm just going to tolerate it, and I'm going to just keep on chanting and just let it happen, and just whatever this mental discomfort is, endure it. So it got worse and worse. And then one day it just burst out completely, and it was just welling up from inside as though there were some water under pressure released out this fountain of grief. And, one part of me is thinking, my God, where is this coming from? We're supposed to feel bliss. What's this grief? And it was clear that the grief was, it was grief because I had turned away from Krishna and was here in the material world. I had committed a crime, a primordial crime, which was absolutely unforgivable, that somehow or other I had turned away from Krishna. How could I do such a thing? I felt awful. And it didn't go, it's still there. Just learned to live with it. I thought, well, what's going on? At that time, I thought, well, the acharyas, they don't ever talk about stuff like this. They always talk about the bliss of chanting. Well, that's okay. They descended from the spiritual world as at the beheading of Krishna. They never turned away. They're nitya siddhas, but I'm not a nitya siddha. I'm a guy. Why did I take my birth in America, to get away from God, obviously. But ultimately, there was some primordial act of turning away from him. And I just felt really horrible. I felt I'd committed an unforgivable crime. In fact, it is an unforgivable crime. At the same time, I was not in a state of... First of all, while it was pain, it was one of those healing pains. Like when the guy is giving you a massage, it hurts, but it's not destructive. I had that sense of a healing pain. And the fact was that it was clear that I was feeling this because actually I was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, I was in contact with Krishna, and even though I had turned away from Krishna, Krishna had not turned away from me, that I was given the holy name because Prabhupada went through so much trouble to come to the West, and so there was some consolation from this thing. So I didn't end up in a state of suicidal despair, which was one way you could go, I think, if you felt this thing. That's my own experience. I don't know that that's going to happen to everybody. But then later I noticed, there's so many songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Sharanagati. There's a whole list of songs called Dainya, where he laments like this. And so there it is. Then I realized it was bona fide. And so then you begin to get a little humble because you realize you're an arch criminal coming to the material world and for nothing except sheer envy, turning away from Krishna. It's good to know that about yourself.
Thank you for sharing that.
It's like some Jerry Springer show.
I know that you spent like a month, you took a vow of chanting 64 rounds of Golden Hill you just died. And maybe you could share some of the intended intelligence to do this and maybe some of the experiences. But
you just
sense the association with the holy name for a
long
period of time.
Yeah, okay. I'll come back to that. I just think my experience was just pay attention to the holy name. Your mind wanders, put it back again, and things will start to happen. And whatever it may be, I think it will be different for everybody. Well, maybe not so different for everybody, but things will start to happen. And once you have trust, just in the process of chanting the holy name. The other offense is this kind of apathy or indifference, audacity or pratipata. Ultimately, having attachment to any other thing other than Krishna will cause some degree of indifference. So all other attachments finally have to go away. One thing we have to also be careful of is not to maintain material desires. Having the material desires is not the offense. It's maintaining the material desires that's the offense. So one should be chanting to become free from material desires. So at least chanting should have some urgency to become free from material desires, to become qualified for association of Krishna, to be accepted somehow or other in the circles of the six Goswamis. One should chant with desire. I mean, there's these two things. There's attraction and aversion. We should use our attraction for Krishna and aversion to anything that leads us away from Krishna. These are not just emotions, but in some ways, you know, very basic, fundamental animal urges to stay alive and not to die and so on, to desire and hate. So all of those have to be engaged in Krishna service, and they should be used in the matter of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. To desire Krishna and to hate everything that stops us from becoming close to Krishna, and so that way we can start to chant with feeling. Prabhupada said the chanting should be like the cry of a child for its mother. So that's an urgent, a very urgent cry, and from a kind of very fundamental biological platform. And in that way, we should want Krishna. Yeah.
To kind of tie where we started today, talking about guru and chanting, I've been trying to. I'd like your opinion on the appropriateness of while chanting, you know, kind of praying also to your guru at the same time for intervention.
Yeah, I think that's all right. For me, a lot of times when I'm chanting, I feel just sort of along with it is a feeling of thankfulness to Srila Prabhupada, and in fact the whole Sampradaya, for bringing the holy name. The whole Brahma Sampradaya is here, and one thing is doing it, saving me. So I sometimes get a very feeling of thankfulness. And since that increases my feeling toward the holy name, I don't think it's a distraction. You have to judge these things. What's a distraction? What augments your intensity of your chanting and your feeling toward the holy name, and what takes it away from it? Okay, in the year 2000, I was the chairman of the GBC. And I knew I was going to be... They always are looking for a victim. And it had been a long time since I had been chairman. it's not that you ever find anybody who really wants that job. People, if somebody wants it, everybody gets really scared. But we rotate it. It changes every year, and it's. Very difficult thing to do. You're basically on call 24 hours a day anytime anything goes wrong in the Hare Krishna movement for a whole year, and plus running the meeting, preparing for the annual meeting. So it's very difficult. Anyway, it was sort of people were telling me, well, it's been a long time since you were chairman, and so, you know, it's your turn again. And And so so I was thinking about this before the meeting began. People try to start casting their net for the next victim. So at that time, Kusha, who practices astrology, was in my congregation, and she was going to see her astrology guru in New Delhi before the meeting, and she said, I'm going to see Sanjay. Is there anything you want me to ask him? And I just sort of said, yeah, ask him if I should become GBC chairman this year. This year, you know. And so she showed up in Mayapur just a few days after the GBC meeting began. And she had talked to Sanjay Rad about these things and had a tape recording. I had given her, she had my chart, so she took it to Sanjay, and there was a whole discussion about my chart with Sanjay and his students and everything. And so on the in the tape recorder, Sanjay says, should he be chairman of the GBC? He says, he must. there was a whole discussion of my chart and the discussion of ISKCON and what ISKCON needs and so on. And he's the one that suggested, this astrologer suggested, it'd be very good for ISKCON if the whole, of all the gurus actually, if the gurus would go on to a spiritual retreat someplace like Kartik or someplace else and go together and chant, take a vrata of 64 rounds, and it'll be very good for their own sins and for the sins of their disciples. He suggested that. And he also said, and it's very much necessary for him, meaning me, if he wears these rings. He wanted to have, I should wear these rings. So that was irresistible, you know, he who wears these rings shall rule the world. So I got these astrological rings. For some, mostly, you know, anyway, it was cool. This was the seeds of this suggestion. And so then I said to the GBC, you know, I really think the year 2000 is going to be a difficult year. And we knew this lawsuit was in the works, and, you know, there was, and also we were having a really big hard time because the GBC was trying to get the Calcutta temple back, which was in the hands of Ajay Dharan, who was basically had taken it over and was conducting a campaign against the GBC. We are trying to get it back.